The title of this message is How to Pray for Others. You know, we're good at praying for ourselves. Lord, give me. Lord, I need. Lord, I want. Lord, provide this for me. It's almost like God is our sugar daddy, and he's just up there to give us whatever we want, whenever we want. And to some degree, that's true. That is true. He's not a sugar daddy, but I mean, he is a God that supplies all of our needs, everything that we need, much of what we want, and much of what we don't even think about that he knows that we need. But I want to hit this tonight on the thought of praying and how to pray not only for ourselves. Continue. I don't know anybody that needs more prayer than myself, and I'm not going to quit that. But I also want to pray for other people. So if you would stand with me, Colossians chapter 1, beginning verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight as we think about prayer and communing with an almighty God that we're so unworthy even to think about coming into your presence. But for the blood of Jesus Christ that's cleansed us, purified us, and made us holy in your sight, that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace and bring our petitions before you. And we do that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as I talk about this prayer tonight, this is what prayer is and what we should be doing. And I'm not saying that these are things that we need to be praying for our pastor for. I think these are things probably that the pastor prays much for us along this line. But I want to remember the pastor in prayer. He's going through a very trial time right now. And many of us have been through things before, and sometimes we lose people. But how often in our church have people come through? Sometimes when we think there's no, look at all the babies that have been spared by the merciful hand of God. And as we're praying one for another, and I could go around the room and pray and name people. I don't want to do that. But we pray one for another, and we see God's hand of mercy. And about the time we think we're not going to see that person again, here they come and are perky and cheerful as could be. And that's nothing but the hand of God working in their lives. And how does that happen? Because of you and because of me, because we spend time in prayer for our loved ones. Now, some of us have lost loved ones, and God's grace is sufficient for whatever comes. I've got all the confidence in the world in the pastor. You know, the Bible says, a cheery heart doeth good like a medicine. Cheerful heart doeth good like a medicine. And as he stood up here Sunday night and gave us that was a thought that went through my mind, and I mentioned that to him afterwards. And I think we're going to see the pastor come through this in flying colors. And he'll be back to full strength before too long. You all know that my son, Joey, went through a serious cancer a couple of years ago, colon cancer, and got into the lymph nodes. And when you get old, words don't come back to you as like they used to. The lymph nodes, and it was very serious. But he went through the procedure, and he's come through the flying colors. He's back to work now. He's got his strength back, and he just had a checkup last month, and everything's in remission, and he's going full steam ahead. So thank God for that. But now as we think about this, we need to pray, and there's things mentioned in this portion of Scripture that we need to pray for. First of all, we need to be pray to be filled with the knowledge, with knowledge. And knowledge, I'm not talking about science, and I'm not talking about English and school, and all those things are fine, although I think we'd be better if they'd cancel the science class. Knowledge is good. God wants us to have knowledge, but all knowledge ought to be measured by this book right here. And if it doesn't match up to this book, it's false. So we need to be filled with the knowledge of what? Number one, of His will in all wisdom. Look in verse 9. Do not cease to pray for you, desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to know what is true or right, common sense or the collection of one's knowledge. So we need to have the wisdom of God. Wisdom begins with God. Wisdom comes from God. And we need to seek wisdom above all else. If we have wisdom, we can be the dumbest person on the face of the earth. But if we got the wisdom to listen to God and to be obedient to God, we're going to be great and successful in the eyes of God. This statement has been made. An example of wisdom is in this quote: the best mind-altering drug is truth. Isn't that truth? When we know the truth of God's word, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, so the saying goes. To know the truth and walk contrary to it is opposite of wisdom. Romans chapter 1, when they knew God, they worshiped Him not as God, but they went their own way. And God gave them over what? To a reprobate mind. So when you have and begin to get wisdom, but you reject the wisdom, you're opening yourself for the foolishness of Satanism. And you say, well, I'm not a Satanist. If you're not a godly person, you're a Satanist. Any way you look at it, you're either saved and on God's side, or you're unsaved and you're in the hands of Satan. I'm thankful I've been saved. I'm in the hands of God. No man can pluck me out of God's hands. That's wisdom to know that. And when you have the wisdom of God, man, what peace and what comfort. That no matter what comes into our life, we can survive it. The opposite of wisdom is called stupidity. Any way you look at it. And I use this illustration. This is the third time, Daniel. You want to stand up and give it? It's like somebody coming up to a street light on a busy New York street, and they got a red light, but their intent is to get to the other side and go on their business, and they say, that red light's not for me, and they step out right in the middle of traffic expecting to get across a busy street with cars coming up and down, and what happens? Bang. They're smacked upside the head. That is the epitome of stupidity and the opposite of wisdom. Even our children know when you come up to a corner and it's a red light and traffic's coming to and fro, you better stand back and wait for the green light or the walk light to say, now it's time to go. That's wisdom. So we need to be praying for wisdom. Now, I'm talking about this for me and for you. We need to have the wisdom of God. Not only wisdom, but we need to also have understanding. Look in verse 9 again. To be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Understanding, the definition of understanding means putting together in the mind. Putting together. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Our life. And we're putting it together a piece at a time. Some of us haven't even opened the box yet to start putting it together. Some of us, as I'm getting older, I counted the other day, I think there's only five people in here now older than me. And we're getting towards the end. I hope that my jigsaw puzzle is just about put together. It will never be completed this side of heaven, but I'm putting a piece at a time together in my mind, in my heart, to know the will of God and the wisdom of God. Like Paul said, I have not yet achieved. None of us are going to this side of heaven, but it's a constant battle to stay ahead of the devil and to seek that. So understanding. Look in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us from God. You know, he's not holding them back. They're freely given. But if somebody hands you a $100 bill, but you never reach out and take it, it's not yours. They may freely give it, but you got to reach out and take it. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about growing in the knowledge. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So you know what this life is? Like this. We get saved over here. Our goal is to achieve the ultimate over here. And it's like stair steps. We start with baby steps. Learning. A lot of things we learn by example. Because we fall right into the midst of it. And say, I don't want to do that again. That's the wisdom of God. So it's baby steps. So we are going up the stairs, a step at a time. And our ultimate goal is to get up here to the top stair. But that's not going to happen in this lifetime. Right. It's a constant stair. I don't care if you're 99 years old and memorized every verse in the Bible. You're still climbing the stairs over here, this side of heaven. And thank God when we get on that final step and either death takes us or or come up hither. I wish it were tonight, except for unsaved people that I know. That's why God gives us a compassion for unsaved people to pass out cards. I like these because they've got the plan of salvation on the back. Some of the cards, the last ones we had to pass out that was on the thing. And thank God we had, and I passed out dozens and dozens of them. But I usually put one of these with it. Because I wanted them to have both. I want people to know how to be saved. You know, to give them something enticing, it's like putting a piece of candy in front of a baby, but putting a string on it and pulling it away. I don't want to do that. I want to put a hook in their mouth and draw them to Christ so that they can know how to be saved. So as we're going up these stair steps, we're doing it in a growing way. And don't ever think that you've achieved. We see on Sunday morning, Esther and Anna come. Why do you think they still come on Sunday morning? Because they're climbing the stairs. It's amazing how they're even getting up and taking another step. But they keep coming. And man, what an inspiration it is. So, first of all, we need to pray to be filled with knowledge. Secondly, we need to pray to walk worthy of the Lord. And I'm talking about me, you, Pastor, Cheryl, all of us. Pray that we walk worthy of the Lord. Now, none of us in ourselves are worthy.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying to go around and pat yourself on the back. You know, I know me better than you know me. And I know that there ain't much there. Was it the pastor that used the ain't word Sunday? Yeah, I guess it's catching. There just isn't much there to pat ourselves on the back. But boy, we can glorify God and give him all the glory. So pray to walk worthy. And number one under this, pray that we can be pleasing to God. Jesus said he always does the things that pleases God. And how can we do that? And is there a difference between obeying God and pleasing God? And I think there is. Jesus said, I do those things that please my Father. Now, what's the difference between obedience and pleasing? Obedience is I don't smoke and drink and chew and go with those that do. Okay? I try to do what God wants me to do. But it's somewhat of a selfish attitude. It's what's in it for me. I know that if I go with them, I'm going to end up becoming a drunkard, get hooked on cigarettes again like I was when I was a young man. And so I don't want to do things like that. So I'm obedient to God, but why am I obedient to God? Is it because of what's good for me? Why do I come to church? Is it because I get a fellowship and see other people? And there's nothing wrong with those things, but is that the purpose? No, that's not the purpose. The purpose of being obedient is to please God. Obeying God is outward. Pleasing God is the intent of the heart. The intent of the heart. And I can be obedient without be pleasing, because God knows my heart. But when I'm have my heart right with God, obedience becomes a joy in my life. It's not a task to get up and come to church. If some of you get here, you'll find out I live alone now. I don't, other than sometimes when I pick up Angela. If I pick up Angela, I leave home 30 minutes before church. But if I'm not picking her up, I leave about 45 minutes before church, so that I can get over here 30 minutes early. I sit out here, and the kids come in. And one of the Baptist, new Baptist distinctives is the fist bump. Okay. And almost every Baptist church I go to, I'll see kids come in anywhere from little all the way to up. And I'll put my fist out like that, and they come by, boom. Now, they're not like these brats down here. Boom! They just about broke my knuckles. Okay, what was I saying? Okay. But it's the heart, the intent of the heart. I love being here and seeing the smiling faces and finding out how everybody's doing. And I hope that that's your attitude. Don't come to church just because, oh, it's Sunday again. We got to get up and go. Listen, I hate Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Well, I like Friday because I mow my grass. But other days are so boring to me. Well, Tuesday's not because Daniel and I, or no, we don't go on Tuesday now. We go on Wednesday. I'm trying to increase that. By the way, starting this next Monday night, the second Monday of each month, we're starting nursing home service over here at Good Samaritan. And I think that it's open. If any of you want to come and participate in it and visit and just be a blessing to the people, do that. But see, that's something that comes from the heart. It's not a duty. It's something we have to do. It's things we get to do. In other words, God is pleased when we are in agreement with Him and not opposing Him or His Word. And the more we know about the Word of God and so on, the better off we're going to be. Okay. When we're trying to please God, we're going to walk right, Colossians 1:10. We're going to speak right, 1 Thessalonians 2:4. And we're going to express in our life what is right, 1 John 3:22. All three of these talk about pleasing God. So let's please. Everything that we do ought to be pleasing to God. I mean, when if you're getting up in the bathroom and you're going in there sick as a dog and throwing up, you ought to say, "Praise the Lord, I'm alive and able to throw it up." You see what I mean? There's nothing that we can't praise God for and be pleasing. Now, we need to walk worthy also to be fruitful in good works. Verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Walk worthy of the Lord. To be fruitful means to follow Christ, to love what He loves, to do what He commands from a loving motive with a joyful spirit. This obedience is both predestined by and empowered by God Himself, which removes any grounds for boasting in how fruitful our lives or ministries become. I am what I am by the grace of God. And that's all we can ever say. But we do need to be faithful in presenting ourselves for God to use, whether it be in the bus ministry and the outreach occupation. I forgot the name of it. Operation occupation. Or if it's just carrying tracts and giving them out. You ought to do what you do for the glory of God and give Him all the credit for anything that might happen. You remember, was it 2 years ago in our missions conference when the pastor brought up this thought that we're laying up treasure for ourselves in heaven? And think about that. What is that treasure? Where does it come from? Well, we know what some of it is when we open our wallet and give our tithe. That's being faithful to God. But some of the little things that we'll never see this side of heaven. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but those of us that give to Faith Promise Offering and however many missionaries. And I hope that when I pass on the missionary letters to our church email list, I hope you take the time to read those. Because every time you read that, and one person got saved down in Peru. Thank God, that's what our dollars did down in Peru. Amen. Two or three people got saved over in the Ukraine. Or it's helping to keep the Ukrainian people going. These are things that the Lord's keeping track of. And those books are going to be open, and we're going to be judged out of those books. And stuff that inadvertently we don't even really think about, we're laying up treasure in heaven. But what about right here in Jasonville? Imara, Lanton, Duggar, Colmont. What kind of treasure are we laying up here? Are we witnessing to people? Are we living a godly life in the presence of our neighbors and people that see us? When they see us, what do they think about? I want to make sure people know where I stand. I don't know, a lot of you have probably seen me. The baseball cap that I wear, it's got a one-way sign on it. It says John 14:6, Jesus is the only way. I want people to know I stand with Christ.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And anything contrary to that, I'm against.
Amen.
Have been and will be. So we ought to walk worthy. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then the next thing, we're to continue increasing in the knowledge of God. Continue increasing. This is a never-ending task. You can't, well, I've read the Bible through 2 times, 3 times, whatever. How much more can I get out of it? This is not a novel.
Right.
It's God's Word.
Amen.
It's food for the soul. Yes. And we need to feast on it every day,
yes,
regularly, thoroughly, and completely.
Amen.
And it's a never-ending task. I've told you this over and over almost every time I preach. As I go through Scripture, it's amazing how many new things, having read it probably 100 times or more, from beginning to end, as well as studying in between, that new things pop out to me that I never saw before. Even these last couple months, I've read through the Psalms. I'm my second time now going back through the Psalms right now. And I'm telling you, verse after verse and chapter after chapter, I never saw that before. Words are in there. You know what just popped out to me in the Psalms? The word salvation. We think of salvation being a New Testament word. People being saved by the blood of the Lamb. That's true. But how often in the Old Testament did they talk about their salvation?
Right.
Well, I'm assuming their salvation is the same as my salvation.
Amen.
Just that the blood hadn't been shed yet. They were looking forward to what we look back at.
Yes,
so we're to increase and keep increasing our knowledge. We're also to pray to be strengthened. To be strengthened with all might. Verse 11 says, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power. Strengthened with all might. This is physical and spiritual. We know what physical might is. Muscles. We go out and lift. Oh, incidentally, some of you know Richard Riggs, the barber in Shelburne, or in Hymera. He was from Shelburne. He was a little bit older than me. I'm glad I got my hair cut short. He fell off a ladder this week and really broke his back and spine and doing a lot of things. Unfortunately, he's 3 years older than me. As we get older, our might is not what we think. Up here, we still think like that. But we need to be careful. We're not what we were as young people. But that's physical might that we have. And we think, I can do it. I can do this. And it's in the strength of my body. Okay? That's the physical might. But I want to think about the spiritual might that comes. But this can also reference might in the inner man. Look in Ephesians 3:16. that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in his by his Spirit in the inner man. This is spiritual strength. I think we've got a pastor that is super strength in spirituality. Amen. And I think it's recognized across the country. And we're privileged to have him as our pastor. That's why we need to be praying for him, that God's going to spare him and raise him back up so he can still be the might and the power that we've always experienced. Do you think he's home saying, and maybe listen to this, I don't know right now, but do you think, oh man, look at that's what he thinks about me? No, I'm sure he's home thinking, that's what God's done for me. That's God working in me and through me. And that's what we want to be, that inner strength, the inner might. And then we need to pray with power and patience. Verse 11 says, strengthened by all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Things we need to pray for ourselves and for each other and our family. Patience carries with it the thought of steadfastness, being steadfast, not wavering with the wind. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Patience. And boy, this is something that comes from God. And many of us, I'm not a patient person. Well, at my age now, I can't be too patient, because I think of something and I stand up out of my chair and I think, now am I standing up to go or am I getting ready to sit down? You laugh at me. But there's a lot of truth to that. And I made a habit now, if it's something that I want, I do it. For Daniel, he came to my house this afternoon. I got out some books for him, a book for him to read. And I thought, oh, they're little biographies of famous Baptist people. I thought I'd like to read those again. You know what I did? I got the whole stack of them. What was there, about 7 or 8 of them? And I laid them on my dining room table. So that every time I walk by, I see them. And I'll pick them up and I want to start reading them again.
Right.
But I'm talking about patience. Somebody crosses you. Somebody just burns you up. Frustrates you. All with no cause. They shouldn't have done that to me. What if Christ had had that same attitude? He did pray, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, none of us are worth getting upset about.
Right.
Just mark it down right now. You're not worth it.
Right.
And I'm not worth it. So why lose your temper? Why lose your testimony?
Yes, sir.
Just grin and bear it. Now, the older you get, the easier that becomes. Or at least for some of us. I don't know. Some of you, I come in here and I saw some faces tonight, and I won't say who. And I won't say how old or how young. But I thought, man, they're in the pits. Now, when I was young, I couldn't grin. I've had false teeth since I was in the 7th grade. Got them knocked out playing basketball. And I've got an underbite. My dentist told me one time, said, "You got the worst underbite I have ever seen." I think that means my front teeth come out over my bottom teeth. So if I look a little, now you know why. But you know what? When I look in the mirror, I see a real handsome dude. Now, what was I saying? Patience. Be patient. Okay. And you know, patience pays off, because I just had a tooth pulled back here. I'm going back next month, and they're going to start fixing me up and build me a whole new bottom, not the whole bottom teeth, but a partial plate. And I'm going to come out, I'll be the most handsome dude in this church. Now, you ladies that are married, you keep your hands off of me. You ladies that are not married, I'm available. Okay, now we come down to the last one. Need to pray with long suffering and joyfulness. Long suffering. The word long suffering in the Bible is made up of two Greek words meaning long and temper. And to me, that means that you stretch your temper out. You don't lose it back here. The patience plays into it. You may get upset about something. You may be mad about something. But so what? Just eat it and go on. Almost everything that you get upset and burning about, it's going to change. Long suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, and imprisonments. Most of us haven't gone through any of those things. In tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, and by long suffering and kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. That's how we get through all of it. And no matter what comes up, we need to pray one for another. We need to pray for ourselves. And with the special need for the pastor now, we want to be in very special prayer, because we need the hand of God. It's not anything that you and I can do. So in saying all this, the joyful Christian life is one that has self-constraint and absence of anger and retaliation. Is that a picture of your life? If not, that ought to be what you strive for. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight and share this message. And I pray, God, that you would speak to each heart here. God, help us to be faithful in prayer, not only for ourselves, but for each other in here, for all of our friends, all of our family, and share in their heartache and their wants and their needs. And Lord, help us to do it all with patience, with long suffering, with godliness in our heart and life. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.